Hi, welcome to Financial Lovemaking. I'm Dr. Boyce Watkins, and I'm here with Estia Brown out of New York. Lifestyle expert. Give me your title again. Because now we've changed that. Because of, you know, we're not going to mention the other title that we had before. So I don't want to mess it up. Give me your title.
I'm just Tia Brown. How about that? S. Tia Brown.
S. Tia Brown. Well, you know what? The name speaks for itself. That right there says volumes.
That says volumes. Okay. You know, I'm happy to hear that. I am a lifestyle expert, and I'm a licensed therapist, and okay. I'm a friend of Boyce Watkins. I think that's the most important thing. And colleague.
Need we say any more? Need we say any more? All right. Well, as we say in the hood, we about ready finna get into it.
What hood is that?
You know that's the boys' nerdy hood.
Okay.
But hey, I'm a proud member. You know, we were reading about this really unfortunate story about the founder of Miss Jessie's hair care products, and I don't even have any hair, but I've heard of Miss Jessie's, and my daughter's big on hair care, and so she brought this story to my attention. Did you read that story by chance?
Right. I did, and it was really sad. I think a lot of people are familiar with the brands. I think Miss Jessie's, which is owned by two sisters, Miko and Titi Branch, kind of was, they were the leaders in the natural hair care market for hair care products that went mainstream, and they're women of color. So people were very proud of their accomplishment. They turned it into a multi-million dollar business. And then at the end of 2014, unfortunately, Titi Branch committed suicide. So, you know, this was shocking. She's 45 years old, you know, widely admired for all of her accomplishments, but severely depressed as well, because we know, unfortunately, that's the only reason that people decide to take their lives. Now, 4 months later, it comes out that her boyfriend and her family are fighting over her estate. So the family is claiming that her boyfriend, and his name is Anthony Spafadora. I want to make sure I get this right. And they were together for about 2 years. Let me make sure I get that name right. Oh, so, I'm sorry, Spatafora. Anthony Spatafora. And Titi were in a relationship for about 2 years. They met on Match.com, which is very popular in 2012. A lot of people meet online. And they quickly became enmeshed. One of the things that Miko says is that Anthony got her sister to invest significantly in his business interests. They started a beard care line together, and they also invested in a home together. So a little bit over $500,000 was spent by Titi investing in her significant other, even though they were not legally married. Fast forward to her passing, the family feels like Anthony isolated Titi from her family, and that's one of the reasons why she was depressing and took advantage of her emotionally and financially. Anthony has since said that he feels he is entitled to a portion of her estate because they had an agreement, a will, which has to be verified as to whether it's accurate. And one thing is for certain, Titi changed the beneficiary of a $2 million life insurance policy from her sister to Anthony. So it's a lot of tension going on. We have a huge financial issue, but we also have a huge emotional issue. You know, the family all parties involved loves and misses Titi, and no one knew how depressed she was. And people are pointing fingers as far as who's culpable for the depression. Now, we know there are a lot of stressful factors. She had a multi-million dollar brand, and even if her brand is thriving, there's constant need for reinvention and an investment in order for it to move forward. And the market for hair care products has become very saturated. So we know that stress. We know that she was in a business relationship with her sibling, and naturally, there are going to be issues that arise. And it's basically public knowledge that the sisters, though they loved each other and supported each other, you know, you also have conflict when it comes to business. And then you have a relationship with a new significant other. And there are a lot of rumors about, you know, how healthy that relationship was. Now, Miko, who's their surviving sister, alleges that Anthony was very manipulative of the sister and isolated her from the family, and they feel that that contributed to her depression significantly. On the other side, Anthony says that Miko was a bully and took advantage of Titi, and in terms of being more assertive in their relationship, and that was one of the reasons that she was stressed. ultimately, you know, no one knows what makes a person feel that they can no longer go on. But we know that these are really big indicators, just the infighting that's going on right now about the turmoil that's going on with the family. But the biggest question, unfortunately, is always going to be what happens to the money? And that's what people want to know. If a boyfriend, and then this is not a husband, so let's be very clear, of 2 years should be legally, should he legally have the right to claim such a significant portion of someone's estate? Some of it may be, you know, written down, and some of it may not be. But what are your thoughts on that portion, boys?
Well, and also you didn't add in the kicker that a lot of people were talking about, which is the fact that he was white, or he is white, right? And not that that is going to matter one way or the other per se, but it matters to a lot of people, which I think adds to the questions people have about what happened here. You know, first and foremost, based on what you've said, and I wrote some notes down because I was thinking about, I was really trying to process this as you were saying, and the first thing that I thought about is, I want to know what's in the will.
Right.
If she put in her will that he's the beneficiary or gets half or whatever of her $2 million life insurance policy, then it's hard to say that that's not his money.
Absolutely. I mean,
it may suck to have to say that, but that might be the case. And what I'm seeing, and I don't know if this is the accurate way to describe this, but I'm wondering if this is a scenario where you had a depressed woman who probably wasn't necessarily as assertive in terms of being proactive and controlling her life and dealing with all the people that are going to tug on her because she has so much power, right? And so much wealth. And you because it almost sounded like you said that the sister was accused of being manipulative. The living sister was accused of manipulating the deceased sister and the boyfriend.
An article on the New York Post, and you know, want to make sure we quote the source, they have Spadafora saying that Miko is a bulldog of Brooklyn or bulldog from Brooklyn, something to that effect, basically saying that she was very aggressive and that, you know, she definitely was, you know, more assertive with the sister and that was causing stress. Because the issue here now is really, okay, if this will exist and it's a real document, was it made under duress? Was it made under the right mental state for it to be legal? Because if a person commits suicide, you can argue the months leading up to that, you know, they're not in their sound mind.
Right. And so what I'm saying is that based on what you're hearing, it definitely sounds like he say she say, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got this poor woman in the middle where she's got theoretically, based on the way it's being described, she's got the sister pulling her in one direction, the boyfriend pulling in the other, and so now the boyfriend and the living sister are clashing over these resources that were controlled by the sister who's now deceased, right? And in a way, it reminds me of another situation that I can think of where I know someone who's getting married, and she's really mad because she says, well, his relatives are trying to get him to do this. And I said to her, I said, but you're pretty bossy. So it sounds like you're trying to get him to do that. And you're just mad because they're trying to get him to do something different from
right.
what you're trying to force him to do. And he's the one stuck in the middle. And really, I wanted to talk to him and say, dude, take control of your life. Get your people.
What do you want?
Get your relatives in order. Yeah,
right.
You know, get your people, as they say, right? And, you know, because, you know, the thing is, when you have that kind of power, that kind of money, and I don't have nearly as much money as she's talking about. I mean, I'm not flinging around $400,000, but I've got a little bit of money. And one of the things I found is that when you become that center person and you've got something that people want, you have to be clear with people, because if you don't, people will yank you and pull you and all kinds of things. So I think that the money thing in the isolation. It almost sounds like the sister's upset because the boyfriend had more influence over her than she did. But, you know, I think – and it's not to say that, you know, we want to disparage someone who has passed, because I think that what happened to her was so unfortunate. But I almost want to look at her in this situation and say it almost sounds like she may have let this get out of control. Because I don't understand. I mean, I wrote down the dates here, and you said that they met in 2012.
Right.
And she kills herself in 2014. So you're talking about a relationship less than 2 years old. And it probably started falling apart at the 1.5 year mark. You don't know somebody well enough to be writing checks for $300,000, $400,000. I mean that's you know, but don't get me wrong. It's not to it's
It's not
not
to say it's impossible, but
right.
it's also questionable.
Right.
And
It's definitely not a good move. You know, it's
exactly.
not a
And
good move at all.
one of the things that I want to stress, from a mental health perspective, it's so challenging when you mix business and other relationships. And this was done with any romantic relationship and then also the sibling relationship. And I think one of the key takeaways here is that you really have to put feelings over finances. And that doesn't mean that you make irrational financial decisions, but sometimes if you see a person is being stressed, unable to cope, if you're constantly arguing, you may have to say, let's take a step back and see what else we can do to make this work. So, is there a third party maybe that we need to hire to handle finances or to become a mediator or to, make sure several boxes are checked so both people feel like their needs are being met? Because unfortunately, when things continue to snowball, you do have a situation where someone or many people are extremely unhappy. And when I say unhappy and depression, I'm not saying that to minimize, but to minimize TT's what she was experienced. But I have no doubt that if TT was this stress, imagine the stress that Miko was going through, right? Because you have a business partner who, if she is depressed, withdrawing, isolating herself, possibly, not functioning and doing other, daily maintenance things. So you know that your sister is unraveling, and then you still have a business to maintain. So it's very important when you see these warning signs to be proactive and try to be solutions based as early on as possible. And you said a really important thing, I think, earlier on about the will. The will is the will. If TT ultimately decided to change her mind, at some point, and even if she didn't, think that this would be like the end of her life, which most people, you don't say, okay, I'm going to pass away tomorrow. And she made decisions a few weeks, a few months earlier, she had the right to do that. So unfortunately, the only thing that we can wait and see is whether or not we think it's fair that Spatafor will benefit off of the life work of Miko and TT for, maybe 24 months of being in their lives. It's really going to be up to the court to decide what is legal and what was done not under duress or other, circumstances that aren't normal.
Well, that's why I tend to side with Miko on this, is that, we don't know exactly what happened in this relationship, but we do know who built this company. And it wasn't this Spafadora guy, whatever his name is,
Spatafora.
Spatafora. He didn't build Jack. I mean, if anything, he was a welfare recipient that received a tremendous financial benefit from the work that other people had done long before he entered that relationship. And you can even ask, would you have been as interested in dating this 45-year-old woman if she were not a millionaire when you met her? Now, so I think that has to be, laid on the table. But what's also interesting to me is I really wish, I understand, suicide. You can't imagine the mindset you have to be in to want to
Absolutely.
take your own life. I mean, God bless this poor woman. But you have to wonder to yourself, it wasn't like she died suddenly or unexpectedly. She knew when she was going to die, or at least it sounds like it. Assuming that you're committing suicide with the intention of actually killing yourself. Why not change that will before you die? Why die leaving half of your assets to the man? If Spatafora was the cause of her demise, why leave half of your estate to the person that's causing you to go to kill
Yes.
yourself on the,
Well,
you see what I mean? That's what's so sad to me.
when a person is unraveling, they're not always thinking logically. So we can't say that finances were on the forefront of her mind as she's
That's
going
true.
through this severe emotional distress and duress. And also, again, it's up to the courts to determine whether or not, these documents were created legally. Right. And they were legally hers because we don't know if this is something that he did or something someone else did. And then just to play devil's advocate, I'd like to bring up this point. I'm a woman and, I definitely want what's mine, but I feel like it's very interesting that society perceives things differently when a woman is the person who has the money versus a guy. And this is a point that you would normally bring up, boys. But I do think it's interesting that, there's a lot more talk about who's do what. And I think some of it is because, you have these women, specifically women of color, who built something, and now this man is saying that he's entitled to it. And I was watching The Real Housewives of New York. You know, I love reality shows. And this was a similar kind of storyline with Bethany Frankel. She was crying and boohooing. You know, she was on the show. She built the skinny girl empire. And then her husband, you know, got a large portion of her estate. I was like, well, you know, this is what happens when you're wealthy. And it's no longer just about the man being wealthy. So I think it's really important for all people to make sure that you're writing down how you want to bequeath things. And if you are in business with someone, whether it's a sibling, you know, a friend, to make sure that that separation of assets is very clear. Because the other thing I can imagine Miko is stressed about is like, now am I running a business with Spadafora, or do I have to give him half of all of the assets for the things that I continue to do, you know, for the next, you know, upcoming years? Does he get to say we're selling this brand, or we're, you know, we're turning it into a franchise? So there's so many things, so many variables. And whether you're a man or a woman, if you are a multimillionaire, if you are a person of wealth, people will come after you. So protect yourself.
Well, and that's absolutely true. And really, what I will say, though, it's funny that we are taking opposite sides of this argument, because we're going to go even further with that, because I'm going to say that just based on mere biology, I do believe that men, in certain situations, men are more capable of manipulating women emotionally in situations like this. It's not always true. We know that. We know women can certainly manipulate men, and we've seen it. But, you know, you see so many cases. I can think of a lot of examples of single women. I'm thinking more so about single black women who are educated and successful, just because that's what I know the most of, who've literally been robbed by men who made them think that they were there for another reason. You know, one of them, one woman I know told me that she started seeing these, she looked at her credit card receipts and saw receipts for shoes that didn't fit her feet. And, you know, it's just one example of many. So I think that this kind of manipulation is something that people have to look out for. If you have substantial assets, remember, somebody, especially if they're struggling, they're going to notice what you got, you know. And I also would say that in the case of Spadafora, there is a difference between the way you treat your mate and the way you would deal with your spouse. So, you know, this man is not her husband coming in and taking half. This is her boyfriend that she had for less than 2 years.
Absolutely.
That's taking half.
The family needs to fight.
Yes. I mean, and I don't care, you know, I don't care if it's male or female. I mean, if you flip it and he were a woman, I'd say the same thing.
Right.
Because, I mean, this is crazy. I mean, you know, let the guy, maybe if he walks away with a couple hundred thousand or whatever, that's fine. That's better than, you know, than what he deserves. But, you know, half? I mean, to have this man be a partner in the family business?
Let me say this. According to sources, Branch already invested $420,000 in renovating a home in Pennsylvania for Spadafora, and $135,000 in a beard care line that they collaborated on. So a lot of people would say that, you know, this is already a significant show of support. But one of the things you said earlier, I wanted to expand on, and I know we're going to go on this topic, but I think that we have to be mindful in terms of when we're looking for mates, how we deal with the level of support and loyalty that we're showing to people in order to say, you know, we want to be together. And you mentioned he was a boyfriend, not a husband. And I think specifically women, and this is not just black women, I think all women who are, you know, mature, established in their career, you want a companion, right? So you're looking like, okay, I want someone who I know I can live with and enjoy spending time with. And then I have to be a little bit flexible, because if I'm in that top 5% of earners, even top 10%, everybody's not going to be there. But I challenge women to be very careful, you know, when you are financially accomplished, to not try to overcompensate and oversupport, you know, and kind of mess up the role that you really want to play in a relationship. Meaning, if you want someone who's going to be a partner, you cannot coddle them, baby them, nurture them financially in a way that is not conducive to building a partnership. And if you're going to invest in a business with someone, make sure you get it again all in writing. Because you can't have someone who you know, on one hand is your boyfriend or your significant other, and on the other hand, you know, there's an imbalance because you're holding all the purse strings. So just be very mindful. I don't think that women get into, or people in general, get into this just because of color. Again, I have to bring up Bethany Frankel, you know, had this huge empire, you know, a Lily White woman, you know, but in the same kind of situation, because she had a certain level of ambition that she was able to actualize by a certain point in her life. And then, you know, we saw this play out on her reality show. She was trying to get her husband, you know, to come up to this level, and while he's trying to figure out where he is. But ultimately, whoever earns more money is the provider. And if you want a person to be, you know, and we get very nervous about saying like these different gender roles, but you know, some women do want a man to exercise a certain level of leadership in the relationship, whatever that balance becomes. If you are the financial leader and you're trying to do things to help a person get there, sometimes it's not always beneficial for you. So you really have to be very careful in how you exercise your accomplishment, you know, how you exercise your resources when you're building a romantic relationship.
I got a question. Mm-hmm. This house that she invested $400,000 in, was this a house just for him or was this a house for both of them? I think that makes a difference. It really does.
So I'm not sure if whether it was his house, meaning solely in his name, mm-hmm. or if it was both of their homes. It's referenced in the story as being his, but I don't know what's on the deed. And in addition, it's referenced in the article that she had an apartment in Manhattan. Now, we know people who, you know, have resources, sometimes they have multiple residences. So it might be both of theirs, it might be his, but we do know, you know, most of her business was conducted in the city. So,
yeah, that's true. But still, I mean, I think that's important because I think that obviously Miko is going to paint things in a certain way. And, you know, and I definitely would be interested in hearing his portrayal of things as well, because the other thing, too, is even with this beard company, which I think is very strange. I went to the website for the beard company that he created, and, you know, it just seems kind of weird. But I don't know. It doesn't look like something that would make money. But then again, I have no swag at all. So maybe that's why I don't get it. But
beard care is one of those things that, like, they're looking at markets in terms of where grooming products can expand. And there have been a more lines with those kind of things. Now, whether this one, you know, will be financially viable, we can't speak to. But I'm not going to say I haven't heard of like more of these lines popping up.
Well, I guess the reason I ask that is because once again with the beard care company, if this was a joint venture between the two of them, that's very different from you know, from the story that she gave him $100,000+ to create his own business or to build his dream, right? So I'd be curious to know, you know, if they own this together or if it's just his thing.
So the New York Post listed as the following. In 2 years, Spadafora managed to extract thousands of dollars from TT to launch his own beard care business, $420,000 to buy and renovate a house in Pennsylvania, and a $135,000 interest-free loan. So there's no indication as to whether or not these would ultimately be his or theirs, you know, or if there was some type of, you know, a trajectory for buyout later. It's not clear, but I still think regardless of whether it's theirs or his, this is a huge investment to make in any person or with any person, especially if there's not some level of parity in the finances, right? So if you're giving $135,000 for a loan, $420,000 to renovate a home, even if it's ours, this is a significant portion of your wealth.
Yeah, so, absolutely. That's
a cause for concern, saying, okay, you know, why are you giving $700,000? And again, this finite period of time, we're renovating a home together and it's 2 years total for the length of the relationship for $500,000. It's a huge investment.
Yeah, I was wondering, I was thinking, oh my gosh, there must be a whole lot of money in that business, because that's a lot of, those are some pretty big checks to write for somebody you've known for less than 2 years.
Absolutely.
You know, so I think we can agree that those were probably not the best decisions. And it almost sounds, if it's true that he did threaten her when she tried to leave or extort her in some way, then that's a reminder of being careful who you trust. But also remember that we are hearing Miko's side of the story, and it's very easy to paint a picture of a woman being victimized by a man who was manipulating her, cheating on her, threatening her, you know. And the thing is, we don't know if that's exactly what happened in this relationship. But we do know she was experiencing some kind of distress because, you know, she took her her own life, and that's, to me, that's the saddest part of it all, even beyond the money. That's what hurts me the most. So this was an interesting conversation.
It is, and I just want to end on, if you are a family member, a friend of someone who you feel is in a relationship that's unhealthy, it's not the time to take a hard stance, because isolation is really what makes depression grow, and it also gives the other person that you feel might be manipulative more power. So if you feel a person is in an unhealthy situation, that's the time when you try to get closer, where you practice active listening, where you're not always giving your opinion, you're just giving your presence and letting them know that they're loved unconditionally and that they're resources for support.
Yeah, never let go of those people who've been riding with you since day one. That's my rule. I mean, they may not be perfect, but they've been consistent. And other people will come in and out of your life, but that sister you built a business with, your mother, your cousin, you know, those are people who've been with you since birth. So it's kind of hard to let this new person trump what's already there. You can add them in, but you shouldn't replace one with the other. I don't think that's almost never a good move, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for listening. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the topic.